Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. Today, I'm joined by Mark Dykeman, the Executive Director of the Kansas Farm Management Association. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mark, I had you come on today because KFMA just recently came out with their executive summary of farm income for 2023. What was net farm income across the state?
So the average across the state was $98,299. That's down from about almost $178,000 in 22, and down significantly from our highest year on record, going back to 1973. In 2021, the net farm income was about $319,000. So again, a big drop from that point.
2023's number was less than a third of what the record was in 2021. What's been the cause of that decline?
Well, two things. I'll start by saying that 21 was kind of a perfect storm of everything going right. Had good prices, good yields, and lots of government payments that year. So incomes were very strong. So 21 probably shouldn't be our benchmark to compare to. It was high, but again, incomes have dropped considerably since then. 22 probably is more along the lines of average, maybe a little above average. But for 23, that drop, we can largely contribute that to ongoing drought for much of the state and a pretty significant drop in grain prices. So grain that was carried from 22 into 23, we might have had valued, you know, for corn, it might have been at $7 plus. And the decline, by the time that grain was actually sold, it may have been $5 or so. So that loss or that decline in value had a big impact on net farm income. But also the crops that were produced in 23, they were valued much lower. And 23 yields, when we go back to compare to 21, for example, soybean yields in 23 were about 60% of 21. Corn was about 85%. And I'll clarify by saying that these are the yields among the farms in our data set. This in no way represents the average for the state, but this is the average of the farms in our in the KFMA data set. Wheat was down or was about 77% of 21, and Milo was about 63%. So all of the four major crops down significantly in yields and in prices relative to the prior couple of years. So all of those factors together contributed to the big decline.
Weather and markets and farming, huh? That's kind of a theme, right?
The two things that we cannot predict. That's right.
Can you explain a little bit about how KFMA calculates its net income across the state? What are you using? Are these just estimates, or do you have real world data that go into these?
That's a good question. These are not estimates. This is very detailed. Real-world data from the farms that we work with. We start with their cash records, so all the ins and outs, and we adjust those the income and expense items for inventories at the beginning and versus the end of the year. So we factor in grain on hand at the end of the year. I mentioned before we grain on hand at the beginning of the year. So we factor in that change in inventory from beginning to end, as well as the cash sales throughout the year. For expenses, we account for accrued income or accrued expenses, as well as prepays, both beginning and end. So if someone prepays for seed at the end of 23 for 24, we're backing that expense out. We're treating that kind of as an asset at the end of the year. We're not including that as an expense within 23 since it's for the next year's crop. With our livestock, we handle things in a similar way. Both market and breeding livestock, We basically force them to be purchased at the beginning of the year and sold at the end of the year. We value those on inventory, so we're doing an accrual adjustment for those as well. In that case with livestock, we're not counting any breeding livestock. We're not counting any depreciation or anything like that for those. It's strictly an accrual calculation for those. The last thing I probably should mention is we do account for depreciation of machinery and equipment, but we do not use tax basis depreciation for that. We calculate our own, what we refer to as management depreciation. It would be fall somewhere in between tax depreciation and fair market value. We're not quite at fair market value of equipment, but we would be somewhat close to that, closer to fair market value than we would tax depreciation. Because as you know, with tax depreciation, we have so many options to accelerate, so many choices. We can really monkey with depreciation for tax purposes. But for our accrual analysis or accrual income, we kind of narrow that down a little bit and try to get closer to a fair market value.
Awesome. So obviously the drought, the markets were not good in 2023 for most areas of the state, but were there sectors of agriculture, even portions of the state, that did much better than others, or were real bright spots out there?
There were certainly sectors that did well. The beef sector really did well. In terms of net income, one of the calculations that we'll do, when we calculate net income, and we'll calculate that on a per operator basis to kind of take the scale factor out of that calculation, or to be able to compare farm to farm a little better. And one of the surprising results of that for 23 was those farms that are predominantly beef cow herds. And I'll note that we classify our farms into different farm types. We do that based on labor allocation. So it's not based on revenue, it's not based on expenses or quantities. It's all based on our standard set of labor factors. So each acre of corn gets so many hours of labor, each cow gets so many hours. So we classify those farms based on labor allocation. So going back to my comment about the cow herds, their net farm income on a per operator basis was about four times, about three and a half times what it was in 22. So a very significant jump in profitability for those cow herds. In addition to the cow herds, backgrounding operations did extremely well. In fact, on a per operator basis, that was the most profitable farm type of any throughout the association. Backgrounding, or a combination of crops and backgrounding, anything with beef in 23 was quite profitable.
Backing up a little bit, the House Ag Committee last week just moved the farm bill out, so it's still a live document. Hopefully we'll end up with one this session. But how important were crop insurance government payments last year with markets and the weather the way that they were?
They were extremely important. The last several years, we have had quite a bit of ad hoc, quote unquote, disaster payments or COVID-related payments that have come to producers. And that trend really continued this year. Average for all of the farms within our data set, average was about $33,800 worth of government payments. And that accounted for roughly 34% of net farm income. Even more important than that for these producers was crop insurance. Obviously, when there's a drought, you would expect expect crop insurance to kick in. Net crop insurance received. So we're talking about indemnity payments minus their premiums, the net result. The average across the state was about $82,600. That's about 84% of net farm income. And if you add those two together, it equates to about 118 or almost 119% of net farm income, meaning without those, net farm income would have been negative. It would have been roughly $18,000 negative. So a pretty important piece of agriculture in Kansas. Kansas agriculture is so diverse, going from the northeast corner to the southeast to the western part of the state. Production practices and rainfall are so different that crop insurance is an extremely important part of maintaining profitability of Kansas farms.
Not a whole lot of operations can sustain losing $18,000 a year for very long, right?
Not for very long, no.
Mark, I think that covers it for my questions. Anything else that I didn't ask that you'd like to cover here today?
I think I'd close by saying agricultural producers, there's obviously a tradition and a history in the industry, but going forward, there'll be, I think, significant importance in operating a farm as a business. And that includes taking a really hard look at numbers, to really understanding a farm's finances, to being able to know what portions, what operations, what enterprises are profitable. So I would encourage anybody listening to really take a deep dive into their numbers. If they like to compare all of the KFMA data is available at agmanager.info/KFMA. We've got close to 20 years worth of data there that's available. Some of that by county, some of that by region, but lots of data there to be able to kind of compare yourself.
Excellent. I don't suppose I can get you to maybe pontificate or project what you see coming for this year yet. Is it too early for that?
If I was able to make predictions like that, I would not be sitting in an office right now. I'd be sitting on the beach predicting from a laptop. I do think there's some with the rainfall, especially in the west or in the eastern third of the state, eastern half of the state, there's been some rainfall in areas, and I think there's some cautious optimism. I think there's concerns that, you know, the rainfall's coming too soon. And it can always shut off. So again, cautious optimism. In some areas, there's still some pockets that are suffering. So from lack of rain, lack of moisture. So some concern there. We're still early in the year. Lots of things can happen between now and harvest.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch, right?
That's right.
Well, Mark, thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for this episode of Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to give us a like and be sure to share with others.